Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with Adam Bly, and this is our April open forum. That's right. That's where you bring all the questions, the topics, the conversation to the table, right? That's where you call in right at the start of the show after we say the St. Michael prayer, and you fill up the phone lines like you always do each and every Saturday, and we answer your questions. We learn and grow together. It's like the fastest hour in Catholic radio. So it's our April open forum here on the spirit world. We're taking questions about angels, demons, anything in between, the invisible world. Adam and I are going to share a little bit about what's going on in our lives. But before we begin anything, Adam, we always start with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, it's our open forum for April. We need to hear from you now. Fill up those phone lines. We have Libby and Anna call screening today. They do a fantastic job here at Guadalupe Radio Network. That's how we're being produced. Senior producer Tim is at the controls doing just an amazing job. Here is the number, 877-757-9424. If you're listening anywhere in the world to the spirit world right now, we are live today on this April 18th. That's right. Happy Easter to everyone. We are in the Easter season, so let's be really excited about that. Here go the phone lines, Adam. Oh, you know what? Our Spirit World family, they never disappoint, Adam. 877-757-9424. We began with the St. Michael prayer. We hope you joined us in prayer. We also want to wave to everybody, Adam, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitch. Okay, guys, get the chats going. Put the comments in the chats and senior producer Tim will pick those up. You also can find us and follow us and friend us on Facebook at the Spirit World Podcast. Okay, if we don't cover everything today, or you have more details to your story and we don't get to it today on this open forum, God willing, we'll have a May open forum, right? And so you can always email us, TSW. That stands for the Spirit World at grnonline.com. Phone number, though, to get in on this wonderful first set of calls that we're going to take in after we get done with our first break is 877-757-9424. That's 877-757-9424. Boy, Libby and Anna are busy taking calls. That's wonderful, Adam. Okay, let's kind of catch up, touch base, see how we're doing. How are you doing, Adam? How's the exorcism world?
Actually, this week, I kind of have a special prayer request for everybody. We have a new case that just started, and often when a new case just starts at the very, very beginning, it can be really hard on the person. And it can be really difficult in between sessions, because when you start out at the, you know, very offset, they have a lot of the territory is theirs within that person. And so they tend to, like, not want to let the person be in charge of themselves in between sessions. They're revealed for the first time fully. And so there is a real need for prayer. Now, this is often just like the first week or two, and it's normal. But because we have this new case and the person is really struggling, God knows who they are. So if you could just pray for our new case, that would be wonderful. You know, even if it's just like a Hail Mary and Our Father and a Glory Be. That would be good. And I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Adam. I put that down in the prayer book. Adam, you know I'm leaving on Wednesday for the Seine River cruise, going to France and going to Normandy, and where St. Joan of Arc was Burned at the Stake, St. Teresa's Home, St. Catherine Laboure, Miraculous Medal, Lourdes. So I'm taking the prayer book. I'm taking the Spirit World family, and I'm also taking Take Two. So if you got any prayer requests, put it. If you're on YouTube, go to our YouTube channel at GRN Online. And then you heard Adam's asking for prayers. So yeah, I'll take those when I leave on Wednesday. That's with the it's being sponsored by Guadalupe Radio Network, the parent company La Promesa Foundation, for 30 years, celebrating 30 years of a wonderful foundation that started Guadalupe Radio Network. So I'm excited about that, and we're all excited, and Marty's excited. I can't even believe, Adam, that my husband's excited about going on a big trip, because normally he's like, too much work, can't do it, don't want to do it, but he's really, really excited. So I'll be taking everybody's prayers to Lourdes, and please pray for, we need a lot of healings, especially I need some health situations, you know, being healed. So I'm going to go to St. Bernadette and Lourdes, and that'll be great. Anything else you want to share with us, Adam, before we go to that first break? We do, we are screening calls right now. We do have an open phone line. It's our April open forum. So please, if you have something to share or ask, call in 877-757-9424. Can you tell that I'm kind of giddy, Adam? Because I just got done with Cleveland The Rock's pledge drive with our dear friend Father Doug Brown, and it was very successful. But I was so pleased, Adam, because so many of the donations that came in, they put in the comment line that they love the Spirit World.
Oh,
and yeah, and I actually have a question for you when we get started that actually came out of the Spirit Drive conversation that Father Doug Brown and I were having. So about who can be an exorcist. So uh-huh. I'm hoping you can answer that. But anything else you want to share that's going on? Maybe you know, anything else you want to talk about? Anything on your mind?
No, just the next book is in the works. So
that's what I was hoping you'd share.
If people, you know, if you want to remember me over the next couple months, I'll be working on that in the background. And yeah, it's exciting. It's going to be a book on spiritual warfare. I know there's a lot of books out there on that topic, but, you know, I want to approach it hopefully in a really balanced way and take the fear out of it and give people a lot of practical information.
Good. That's wonderful. We can't wait. Well, your Angels books is coming out at the end of this year. So yeah. That one from Sophia Institute Press. So that'll be fantastic. And then you've got the new one you're working on, Spiritual Warfare. And then I'm holding up our book for those who are on social media that just came out on Amazon, Questions on the Invisible World. And it's really cool. It's all questions. And I tell you, I read it the other night. I just skimmed through. I just kind of did the roulette where you open up and you get a question. And I was like, wow, I totally forgot about that. It's so interesting. So yeah, that's on Amazon. So many things happening, guys. Lots of action, lots of fun. We are definitely in the Easter feeling and you know, hallelujah. And we want you to feel that joy. So please fill up that one last open phone line at 877-757-9424. Before we take that first break and then go to the phones, Adam, it's looking like just a couple minutes before our first break. Tim's got it covered. I wanted to ask you that question about who can be an exorcist. So every priest, when they ordained, why don't you explain that all to us so that when somebody says, like if you're talking to a priest and they say, but I'm not an exorcist, why don't you explain what that means?
Okay, so so real quick. There used to be something called the minor orders on the way to being ordained a priest. It's something that only went away in the 70s. So it was there for a lot of the history of the church. And then that included, like, you know, porter and lector, you know, different titles. They were ordinations, but they weren't the priesthood yet. So that would be done along the way, one at a time. And one of them was exorcist. And every man heading towards priesthood was ordained an exorcist on the way to priesthood. Now, in the 70s, they dropped the minor orders, and it's just deacon and then priest, and that's it. So that faculty, right, that comes with the ordination is part of the priesthood. It's all the minor orders are rolled into the priesthood now. That's the way it's done. And so every priest is an exorcist, right? Because if you think about it, they're doing exorcisms during baptism. They're encouraged sometimes to silently pray for deliverance for people in confession if it seems like there's a tremendous temptation on a person. They can do informal exorcisms when they're working on things, just in the name of Jesus, you know, leave this person alone. They can do all that. That's part of the priesthood. So every priest is an exorcist. The only difference is some priests are given permission by their bishop to pick up the exorcism rite and pray out of that book. Okay, that's the only difference. You know, and by the way, kind of funny, in the old days with the minor orders, when they ordained them exorcists, they would hand them a book and they'd say, and here's the exorcism book, but, and they'd take it back. You can't do it unless you're given permission.
Oh, okay.
So basically, that's the answer. All priests are exorcists. It is a permission to use that particular rite of the book. There's no special ordination. There's no special power. There's no additional anything. It's just a permission to pick up that book and use it.
Mm-hmm. Another, something else that came out of the spirit drive I was doing last week at the Rock, the theme was all about angels. So, you know, Adam, I was in heaven, right? Mm-hmm. I love that. But we had certain prayers, like the full St. Michael prayer, and then the prayer that we're allowed to say. Can you explain that again to all of us? Because there's the long version, the short version, and
right.
There's some exorcism language in there that we have to be careful of.
Right. So kind of the Cliff's Notes on this is the full St. Michael minor exorcism that Pope Leo XIII wrote in 1890 was originally written to curb Freemasonry in the world. And then the language referencing Freemasonry was removed over time, and it was for priests to say frequently. Now, why is it restricted to priests? Because, number one, because the Pope wanted it that way. That's enough. But there's a phrase in there, "Begone, Satan." So that's a direct command. If I say, go sit in that chair, I've given you a command, right? That's mm-hmm. different than saying, gee, I wish Debbie would go sit in that chair. That's an intercessory prayer to God for God to do something. If you say, sit in that chair, that's a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's an exorcistic or an imprecatory prayer. Imprecatory means a command with a threat behind it. Like when a cop says freeze, mm-hmm. you know there's a threat behind it that if you don't obey, bad
they
things are going to happen.
Yeah.
Or they're going to jump on you and, you know,
right,
subdue
right.
you.
Right.
So that's what an imprecatory prayer is a command with a threat behind it, which is God in the case of exorcisms, because God punishes these creatures when they're disobedient. They're disobedient all the time. Okay, so we can't use that full minor exorcism, and some places online will put it online, and they'll remove the rubric, which is the rule, the little writing in red before it that says this can only be said by a priest with permission from their bishop. Mm-hmm. They'll remove that, or they'll even say all lay people can use this and should use it frequently. That's not true. That rubric, the rule restricting it to mm-hmm. priests with permission from their bishop, was never abrogated. It was never removed. And we actually got a dubia from Rome, a formal question and response from Rome, confirming it was never removed. Now, that doesn't mean, I'm not saying anything against the St. Michael prayer, the one that we all know and we open the show with. We're all supposed to say that. We say it, a lot of places say it after Mass. A lot of parishes say it after Mass. You're supposed to say that. Just don't pick up the full exorcistic leonine, and it's much longer than the St. Michael prayer. That's the thing that we can't use as lay people.
Got it. Understood. That was very well stated. Before we go to break, real quickly, Adam, we got a question that came in from one of our listeners. What's the difference between faculties and permission? Can you say it in 10 seconds?
Yeah, faculty is a power, and permission is literally the permission from the authority to use it.
Okay. Well done. Wow, Adam, you are on fire today. I love it. And look, we have one open phone line. If you'd like to ask us a question about angels, demons, the invisible world, please call in 877-757-9424. Okay, this is your show, The Spirit World. And we're going to get to the calls as soon as we get back. Only two breaks today, guys, so we'll try to get to everybody. Jack is up first, and we'll see you in a couple minutes.
Thank you. This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 18th. Today we celebrate Blessed James Oldo. You've heard of rags-to-riches stories. Today we celebrate the reverse. James of Oldo was born in 1364 into a well-to-do family near Milan. He married a woman who, like him, appreciated the comforts that had come with wealth. But an outbreak of plague drove James, his wife, and their three children out of their home and into the countryside. Despite those precautions, two of his daughters died from the plague. James determined to use whatever time he had left to build up treasures in heaven and to build God's realm on earth. He and his wife became secular Franciscans. James gave up his old lifestyle and did penance for his sins. He cared for a sick priest who taught him Latin. Upon the death of his wife, James himself became a priest. His house was transformed into a chapel where small groups of people, many of them fellow secular Franciscans, came for prayer and support. James focused on caring for the sick and for prisoners of war. He died in 1404 after contracting a disease from one of his patients and was beatified in 1933. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, as promised, we're going to get right to the phones because our listeners are waiting patiently listening to the show and they want to come on air with us to ask their question. We will weave in the social media comments as we can, and we're only taking one more break, guys, so don't worry. You don't have to send me any messages saying, stop taking breaks, we want more questions. Okay, we aim to please here on The Spirit World. The show team's all in place, and we're ready to go to our first caller, Adam. Jack from Steubenville, Ohio, is on listening on the EWTN.com. Hi, Jack. Welcome to The Spirit World. Jack, you go right ahead.
All right. So I recently accepted an offer from a Catholic summer camp to be a camp counselor. Every week, the counselor of the small group prays over each camper. I've heard some of your warnings against praying over people and wanted to get some clarification. I wouldn't be claiming any kind of authority or commanding spirits, just head on shoulder praying for supplication for their intentions. Would I be opening myself to demonic attack? If so, I would rescind my acceptance, but I just wanted to know before I'm supposed to begin.
Okay, Jack. Yeah, this is a great question. This question has always come up and it will always come up. There is no like absolute rule on this. Here's what I've come across over the years. When we pray over somebody, like imposing our hands on them in an authoritative way, that is a priestly type of prayer. And when I go to, say I go to my friend Father Chris, and I say, would you please pray over me and bless me? And he lays his hand on my head and he prays and he blesses me. I'm submitting myself to a minister of the church. Therefore, I'm submitting myself to the church. And that blessing, that prayer, comes with the weight of the church behind it. And it's not tied to his personal imperfections, his personal sins, or if he's troubled in some way, because I'm going to a minister of the church. Now, if I go to my friend, Joe, and I say, Joe, will you please pray for me? He can pray for me and ask Jesus to help me and ask Jesus to do whatever and bless me. That's great. And if he's going to impose his hands on me and bless me, well, what blessing am I receiving? It's fine. I'm receiving his baptismal priesthood, right? And his goodwill and his charity and his love. That's fine. If I know him well and I know he's not troubled, because I'm submitting not to the church, I'm submitting to Joe. And so therefore, I'm submitting myself to whatever spiritual state and baggage Joe has. Okay. The next thing is, if you come across, you're unlikely to, but if you came across somebody who was possessed, who had a serious demonic problem, and you started doing that, especially when people get into the deliverance prayers and they start giving commands to leave a person, if the lay people do this, it can be problematic because we don't have that full authority over the demons as lay people. And we see this play out time and time again in the exorcism world where it's super clear because it's a demon in a body in front of you. You're not wondering. Even a priest who starts to pray, who doesn't have permission, who's just there to learn and watch, the demon will check them and stop and say, he has authority, you have no authority over me, I'm not listening to you. And they will proceed to ignore any commands that that priest gives. The priest who does have authority, permission from the bishop, he can say in the name of Jesus, sit down and put your hands in your lap and be quiet, and they'll sit down and do so. So we want to be careful about acting like we're a priest when we do these things. It's fine to intercede. It's fine to sit down with somebody and have your hand on their shoulder in a comforting way while you pray. That's fine. But let's not shift into starting to use language and our intent in our heart is kind of a priestly authoritative intent. That's where I think you're kind of blurring the line into a minister. I know that's a lot of words, Jack. This is not a completely simple black and white issue, but I hope that helps.
Jack, what's your response to what Adam shared?
Yeah, so as long as can I put my hand on their shoulder as long as I'm not doing any kind of authoritative language or I don't think it has any kind of extra power or anything like that. Like, do you think that would be okay? Like I'm spiritually dangerous.
Right. It's more about your intent when you do it. So it's not going to be spiritually dangerous unless you were to stumble across a possessed person and start giving commands. Like the demon manifests and you have your hand on them and you start giving them commands. Mm-hmm. Now you've challenged a fallen angel to a spiritual fight, and what you have behind you, yes, Jesus can decide to not let that happen. Jesus can do whatever he wants at any moment. Mm-hmm. But basically, you're challenging a fallen angel as a person, not as a minister of the church, if you stumble across a possessed person. Right. So yes, a comforting touch on the shoulder, if your intent is to intercede, that's totally fine.
So, Adam, let me ask you a question, because, Jack, don't go anywhere, because we're getting a lot of comments coming in from the spirit world, because this happens all the time. When people are in need of prayer, you know, you'll get fellow Catholics that'll say, hey, let's all join around this person and put our hands on the person, or raise your hands up over the person.
Right.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would feel very uncomfortable going, oh, goodness. I mean, I'd be more worried about my intention than the actual prayer I'm saying. Would it be better for Jack to just say, let's just fold our hands in prayer over, you know, praying for this person, rather than, or can Jack feel, and the rest of us feel comfortable putting our hands over somebody or on their shoulder or on their back or what, you know, whatever. I mean, this is so awkward. It's awkward. I mean, and you see a lot of it in a lot of charismatic groups. It's very comfortable for them. So what do you do, Adam? Why don't you tell us what you do? When somebody says, Adam, can you pray with me? What do you do?
Oh, I don't put my hands on them. I just pray for them. And I say the prayers out loud so they can hear what I'm saying and they know exactly what my intent is. And it's intercessory prayers. If they want prayer for, say, drinking or something they're struggling with, I'll speak out loud and, you know, Lord Jesus, this your child is here asking for your grace, for your, you know, for the your intercession in this. Would you please help them with this if it's your will to do so? Mm-hmm. Whatever it might be. And I'll just pray for them.
Okay, but if I were to, well, let's not use me. Let's say somebody came up to you and said, Adam, I really need you to pray with me. Can we hold hands and pray? What would you say? Do you say, okay, I'll hold your hand or not?
Number one, that's never, ever happened.
Okay, well, what if it did?
I mean, if I knew the person and I knew they weren't thinking of me as something special, mm-hmm. that would be fine. If it was somebody that I didn't know and they thought I was somehow special, like let's say we were at a conference that we appear at and somebody has the mistaken idea that I'm in some way special and they want to hold my hand because they think there's power in that and that's going to free them as opposed to, you know, mm-hmm. other people praying
right,
for them,
right.
then absolutely not, because I'm becoming an idol then. mm-hmm. and I'm encouraging my pride, and I'm encouraging their misguided idea that I'm special. Mm-hmm. They're turning to Jesus. Like, at the bottom of all of this, to me at least, is the understanding that Jesus is doing all of this anyway.
Right.
And I don't see how it's any less effective to just give all the glory and honor to him, put him at the center of the prayer, and not have me putting hands on you and you getting the natural human, you know, intuitive response that it's this person doing this for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So ultimately, I like to just keep Jesus at the center of it. And I know the prayers in the language do that, but at an emotional, physical level, when I'm holding somebody's hand or touching them, the emotional understanding is this person is doing this.
Gotcha. I got it. So one other thing, though, and maybe Jack is thinking this, I'm thinking it, so let me just ask it. So if you're touching the person, like let's say a person's sitting in a chair and you're all behind with a group and you lay hands on their shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. Could any of their negative anything transfer to the people that are praying?
If you challenge it. So let's say the person did in fact have a demon right. harassing them. They're not possessed, but you know, it's bad temptation or it's phasing into oppression, etc. If you challenge it, I have seen cases where then it does have the ability to affect that person. It doesn't mean you'll end up as bad as they are in terms of the difficulty they're experiencing.
Right.
But I have seen that, because once you challenge it, like if I go up and shove somebody in a bar, I've consented to them pushing back. And if I end up on the floor, I consented to that by challenging them and
gotcha.
Shoving them.
Okay.
So if you're spiritually going to shove a demon and then you get hurt spiritually, that's because you consented to the fight.
Got it. Okay. Jack, does that, thank you, Jack. You prompted a lot of questions from the Spirit World family, and I had a few myself. What do you say, Jack? Final comments.
Yeah. So what exactly do you mean by challenging? So like if some, say a camper asked me to pray for their purity and they were being like harassed by a demon tempted mm-hmm. to lust.
Right.
Like,
so
me praying for purity be challenging that demon?
No. If you intercede for them and say, Lord Jesus, if it's your will, please help this person with purity. And if there's a spirit that's, you know, afflicting them in their struggle with this, Lord, would you please send that away? You're not mm-hmm. challenging it. You're asking Jesus to do it. You see the difference?
Okay.
Whereas if I say spirit of lust in the name of Jesus, leave Bob alone. Now I've challenged it.
Right.
So basically using the words, we are going to Jesus. This isn't about me trying to cast anything away. It's we're going to go to Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Him to do it.
And ask Jesus to do it.
And I know the arguments flood in when we talk about this.
Oh, they are already.
but one of the questions I ask is, when the retort comes, is, why would you think it's less effective to ask Jesus to do it? Why do you need to be mm-hmm. the agent that is essential? Why does your touch have to be essential for this to work? Because really, there's a strange message in that. If I say, no, I must do this, I need to be the operative factor mm-hmm. in this, at least physically.
You're right. But Adam, there are some lay people that have healing abilities.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
And that's praying for healing. But again, you're asking Jesus to do it. The people with healing charisms, at least if they're properly formed, don't say, I've got this power. It's mine and I use it at will whenever I want.
Okay.
Charisms are something that God does through us when he wishes to do so, right? They're not superpowers that we own. It's God ultimately. It's Jesus ultimately. And again, the challenging I'm talking about is if there's a demon there and you're giving it commands, that's the challenge I'm talking about. Praying for healing, you're not really challenging anything. You're just asking God's grace for healing. That's fine.
Totally get it.
But again, we go back to the beginning of it. Let's not stand up and impose our hands like we're a minister of the church. Let's just sit together. And yes, if you want to hold hands, that's fine. But let's not act like we're a priest, because there's a different message that the person's receiving.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. Thank you, Jack. I hope that gives you some peace as you have this wonderful summer camp counseling position. And let us know after the summer how it went, okay?
So much. That was...
Thank you. Thanks, Jack. Okay, we can squeeze in one more question before the break, I think. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron's in Idaho Falls, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. I just want to say this real quickly, Aaron, before I bring you up on air. We're getting an avalanche of questions for clarification from Adam. So after Aaron's call, after the break, I'll ask Adam to just kind of streamline this for us so everybody can feel at peace. But let's get to Aaron because you've been waiting so patiently in Idaho. Okay, welcome to the spirit world.
Thanks for taking my call. This is so fascinating to listen to you guys. I come from a different faith tradition, LDS, and angels are a huge part of our religion. There was an angel, Moroni, that Joseph Smith would meet with that would give him instructions on what to do for our church. We had Peter, James, and John, and John the Baptist come back and restore priesthood as we look at it. And one of those priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, has the ability to have the ministering of angels, and it's a lay priesthood, so I was ordained that way, and I have felt like angels have helped me. I've never seen an angel, but I have felt angels helping me and my family in my life. But I'm just wondering, our interacts with angels is more like they have a robe and they're people that had passed away, they are coming back to help us or have specific assignments, but I'm just wondering how that fits in with Catholic theology as far as how we look at it and kind of what your take is on that as far as angels helping us or things like that. We also have a lay priesthood where we can cast out devils, but that's not something that I've ever, done or seen. But I think that in the early church they had some of that. But I'm just curious how that all interacts with you guys and how you see that.
Okay, Aaron. Yeah. So Thomas Aquinas, who is he did more writing and thinking and theology on angels than anybody else, basically, in the history of the church, and laid down all the fundamental understanding about angels. And the bottom line is every angel has a specific function that it was created to do, and it is given what's called a faculty in order to be able to do it. So let's say an angel, this is a silly example, but is created to inspire people doing well in their study of mathematics. It would have a faculty given to it of incredible insight about mathematics and the ability to inspire that in other people. Or if it was to protect chastity, it would have a particular power to inspire chastity and encourage people in their struggles against lust. So we believe that every angel is a specialist with a job and a faculty to do that job. And the ones that fell keep that faculty but use it for the opposite, right? So an angel created to inspire chastity, if it was one of the fallen angels, would then inspire lust because it only has a hammer, right? Think of it like it only has one tool. And so it can either use it for what God intended or use it in the reverse, but it still only has one tool. They're not generalists, and that comes from Thomas Aquinas. So that's basically, at least for that part of it, that's our theology on angels.
One other thing, Aaron, I would suggest that since it sounds like you're so interested in our Catholic teaching on angels, which it's fascinating, Aaron, and I think you really would benefit from going to this website. It's opusangelorum.org. Opus, and there it's the priests and the laity of devotion to the angels, work of the angels, opusangelorum.org. Go there, and they have resources. They have questions and answers. It'll give you kind of the baseline understanding of what we believe in angels. And I think it would really, based on how you said that you felt the angels have really helped you in your spiritual life, I think you would benefit from learning some of the questions and answers of what they give from that wonderful group that has been leading the charge on being devoted to the holy angels. What do you say about that, Adam? Adam, you love Opus Angelorum.
Yeah. They've done a lot of work and I, definitely friendly with. We co-taught at a big conference. They have an excellent theologian there, a specialist on angels. And they know a ton, and they've studied this really deeply with many of the church fathers and the theologians on this. So they're excellent.
Right. And Aaron, we're going to go ahead and post in the show notes, the link, opusangelorum.org. And, I know that you are part of the Mormon community, the Latter-day Saints, but your understanding and your teaching on angels is vastly different from what we believe as Catholics. So that's why I think it would be beneficial for you to go into St. Thomas Aquinas, and they cite St. Thomas Aquinas on Opus Angelorum a lot, and just get a full understanding of what the Catholic teaching is. What do you say?
Wonderful. We went to Rome with our family last year and just absolutely loved it. It's just fascinating history and beautiful. And yeah, the more I can learn, the better. I really enjoy Catholics. I got many Catholic friends. You guys are a great religion, and so I will do that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And thanks for listening to The Spirit World. We so appreciate it. Call us anytime. We love these calls because you're seeking, you're curious, you want to gain knowledge. That's what we're doing here on The Spirit World. So this is our open forum for April. We'd love for you to call in and ask your question, make your comment. I'm going to have Adam clarify just a couple things. I got it down to three of your questions, guys, that are coming in on the chats. I hear you. You're all saying, Debbie, please ask Adam this. Please ask Adam. We will ask Adam when we come back. This is your show, The Spirit World, April Open Forum, 877-757-9424, 877-757-9424. Please join us. We'll be right back.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. We can access Jesus' healing power through the sacrament of confession. But how can telling a priest my sins heal me? People pay good money to unburden themselves to psychotherapists because of a deep-seated human need to confess and be absolved. Through our contrition and confession to the Lord Jesus in the person of the priest, we accomplish the healthy task of accountability in an age of shirking of personal responsibility. But beyond the psychological benefits of admitting wrongdoing so that we can move on, our souls are literally wiped clean in this sacrament. We are given the grace and the strength to go out there and actually do better. A truly clean and peaceful spirit leads to a healthier body and mind. The sacrament of confession is a well of healing for your soul. Is it time for you to go to confession?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders from EWTN's Called to Communion. I want to let you know that I've joined the staff at Stand Tall Life Coaching. If you're struggling to put the Catholic faith into practice because of habitual sin, family or relationship problems, or other personal or theological issues, I'm offering help. Reach out to me at my website, drdavidanders.com, or at standtalltoday.com.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, we are back, and we're going to have to move quickly now, so let me go really fast. Guys, I see all of your chat comments coming in, and you're trying to get to the phones to now get on air. So, Dean, we're going to ask Dean and Julie and John, hang on. We're going to get to you. But Vera had a question, and it really prompted a lot of other questions for you, Adam, and a need for clarification. So here we go. Deliverance prayers. There are a lot of them online. There are a lot of exorcists online promoting these deliverance prayers. People are picking them up as resources. In some of these prayers, and this is what Vera's concern is and the others, and now there's up to almost a half a dozen folks are coming in fast. The language in some of these deliverance prayers actually tells, not ask Jesus, but tells the demon, be gone, get out of here, go to the foot of the cross, cast to the foot of the cross. I mean, on and on and on and on. What are we to do? Is that challenging the demons?
Well, yes. So let me step back a second. I'm trying to give advice and share from 20 years of experience of working in cases and consulting on hundreds of cases, in addition to all the cases I've helped, you know, work on. And I've seen things that can lead to problems. So I'm not just saying I'm giving an armchair opinion that I think this is the way it should be. I'm just trying to share with you, think of it like a cop saying, like, you really should stay out of that neighborhood. I'm giving you some advice. I've, you know, I know about this stuff. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to dogmatically tell people what to do. So I'm trying to be helpful and share some things that hopefully can keep people safer.
Got it.
All right. So deliverance prayers that have that command language in it, basically, it's an issue of authority. So let's quickly go back to the example I gave. This has happened many times. There's a priest sitting in with us. They're there to learn. They're just there to watch. They don't have permission to do the exorcism prayers. And during the struggle or the drama, they give a command, like, they're stop that, or, you know, in the name of Jesus, leave them, or they get excited and say something. The demon almost always will stop what it's doing, turn to them and say, you don't have authority over me. I'm not doing what you say. Like, quite literally, they will spell it out. They're like little lawyers that way. And they will proceed to ignore anything that priest tells them to do. And if the exorcist says, the one with authority says, you know, sit in the chair, they'll sit in the chair. So we see this authority issue play out. So where are the kind of exceptions with authority, right? So that would be two. If I myself, an individual, I'm home, say I'm home alone, I get pinned to the wall by some invisible something, right? Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to say, in the name of Jesus, get off me, because I have full authority over my body. I have full authority over my body. Now, what's the weight behind that command? The weight behind that command is my baptismal priesthood and whatever Jesus wants to do and respond to that in charity.
Okay.
Okay? Because I have full authority over my body. If my friend Sue comes to me and asks me to pray for her, I don't have full authority over her body.
What if, right, she gives you permission?
I still don't have full spiritual authority over her body. She does.
Okay.
My own body, I do. Now, let's say I have a child that's not of the age of reason yet. Think of, like, when we baptize babies. You don't ask the baby, hey, would you like to be baptized?
Right.
We don't ask their permission, because the parents have full spiritual authority over the baby to choose for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if a parent had a child under the age of reason that was being tormented, they're allowed to say, in the name of Jesus, leave my kid alone. Right? Mm-hmm. Because they have that full authority. What's the weight behind the prayer? Again, their baptismal priesthood,
right,
the graces that come with matrimony and parenthood, right, that God gives them, and whatever Jesus wants to do.
Right. What about your home? Do you have authority over your home?
Yes, you do. You do. But when it comes to that, if there's crazy stuff going on, like stuff's mm-hmm. flying around, or religious things and people are being wounded, my advice after all these years is talk to your parish priest, call the diocese, get a priest in there, because generally, once it gets to that extraordinary level, the layperson exercising their personal authority over things isn't enough. It just isn't.
Okay. So real quickly, because we got to go fast. Vera, I hope you're listening, because she's calling in. So I'm trying mm-hmm. to answer everybody's mm-hmm. questions. I'm up to almost 25 people trying to get this clarified.
We'll
do a whole topic on this, guys. So everybody just, we'll chill, take the temperature down, and we'll do a whole show on it. But Adam, you go into a prayer group, a prayer meeting, a Bible mm-hmm. study. Mm-hmm. You walk into a church room on campus at the church, and some lay person walks in and goes, oh, I feel evil spirits here, you know, in the name of Jesus, be gone, Satan. Is that proper?
Well, first off, they don't have authority over that building or that church. They're not the pastor of that church, so they don't have authority over that space. So if that spirit was there because it wouldn't be a church, but let's say they're in visiting somebody's home or a mm-hmm. secular hall or something, maybe the owner of that place is, you know, practicing bad stuff. Maybe they invited that stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
The visitor doesn't have authority over the building to kick them out.
Right. But if you say that sentence, in the name of Jesus, be gone, Satan, is that one of those commands?
Yeah, you've challenged it. Yeah.
But you're saying in the name of Jesus.
That's even more of a challenge, because you're invoking the name of Jesus. And saying in the name of Jesus, I command you, you need to complete the sentence to understand it. Really, what you're saying, in the name of Jesus, I command you. get out of here.
So would it be better to say, Jesus, please, yes, if there are any spirits here, take them away?
Yeah. Just ask him to do it. Because number one, you don't have authority over the building unless it's yours or the owner asks you to, you know. And generally, they're going to ask a priest to do it.
Right.
So you don't have authority over the building, first off. Second off, I would say keep Jesus at the center of the prayer and just ask him to do it, because that keeps Jesus at the center of the prayer.
Perfect.
And it's safer. So, and it's no less effective, because what are you going to say? Jesus is less effective unless I give the command?
Like, no, that's strange. You nailed it. Words have power. We know that. Mm-hmm. We know this. We know it all throughout Scripture. So we know that. And you're spot on. And I'm glad you shared it. Sorry we put you on such a quick spot to answer. We'll do a whole show in the next couple of weeks. But this was great, Adam. You answered it beautifully. Let's get back to the phones. Dean in Pennsylvania is waiting so patiently on the iHeart Radio app. Hi, Dean. Welcome to the Spirit World.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Just quick question real quick. I had two things. I'm just going to get right to the point of my question. I'm just going to make a statement. My question is, it was a little over a week ago. There was a gentleman I've known for over 20 years, and I just got this intuition. I got this overwhelming sense I should reach out to him. I didn't reach out to him. And then 3 days later, I found out on that particular day he had passed.
Mm-hmm,
so I'm wondering what that means. Is he reaching out from purgatory, or I should just say some prayers to bless him on whatever journey he has, or what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, Dean, you know what? This comes up a lot. We get a lot of these questions. And let me just share real quickly, because something just happened just this week to another person similar to what you experienced. So first of all, was this person that passed away, and I'm so sorry for your loss of your friend, was he Catholic?
I think he was to some. I don't think he was practicing. I think
was he baptized Catholic, Dean?
I don't know that answer.
Okay, so he's Christian, but he was a believer in Christ. Okay, all right. So, couple things you want to do. It could be this, that your guardian angel was trying to tap you to talk to him before he died, to maybe make that connection. So Christian, I could feel the Holy Spirit. Okay, Dean, your guardian angel was tapping you to maybe make a connection so you could pray for your friend. So what I would do, Dean, is definitely pray for your friend. I would have masses said for your friend. I would be at peace, because that's a very privileged position, if indeed that's what God is calling you to do, to help your friend to move into a good place in heaven, or, you know, if he's got to go through purgatory or whatever. So be at peace, and I would definitely pray for your friend and have some masses said for him. And if you want to, you could give us his first name. I'll put him in the prayer book, and I'll take him to Lourdes with me.
Steve.
Okay. All right. Any comments on what I said, Adam?
No, that was perfect. So, Dean, this happens all the time. And yeah, it's either a prompting that came from your guardian angel, the Holy Spirit, so you could have closure with your friend and have a last conversation and pray for them. Or it was just to be aware and to pray for them. So yeah, it's a good thing that happened, and don't feel strange. This does happen all the time.
Right. Okay, Dean, thank you so much.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Call us anytime. We're trying to get to a couple more calls. I want to get to Julie. Julie's in North Dakota. Can we get to Julie, please, on the EWTN app? Hi, Julie. Welcome to the Spirit World.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm asking a question about my daughter. And her background is that she left the Catholic Church to marry a non-denominational man. And let's see. So over the years, I've tried to keep communication open with her. One of the things that she has told me about is that she's had dreams where she feels someone, something pushing on her chest. And, you know, and of course, then this has scared her. I don't know how many times this happened, but I think that's one of the big reasons why she has started studying Satanism. And I've kind of encouraged her in that and kind of try to help her study it with, and then constantly saying to her, yeah, it's a way for you to find out what's the exact opposite of Jesus. If Satan's doing this, then what's the exact opposite of that? Because you can figure that's the truth, because Satan's always going to be the opposite of God. Okay, so...
So, wait a minute, Julie, you encouraged her to study Satanism?
Because not to be a Satanist.
Right, I understand.
To study it. Okay, yep. To study it so that you can figure out what's the opposite.
Right. I just want to make sure we heard you correctly. Okay, continue, but go fast because I want Adam to comment.
Okay, so my question is, I see her starting to open up to the idea, I think, that she's starting to see, because she talked about feast days and how Satan acknowledges feast days, but of course, you know, does it in the opposite direction. Okay, so one of the things I want to say to her or talk to her about is black masses. Okay, what's the exact opposite of a black mass?
Okay, Julie, we're gonna have to cut it there. I'm gonna have Adam speak. Just one thing I want to share. Please go to CatholicsComeHome.org. They have video and audio resources there, information. Go to CatholicsComeHome.org. Please do that, Julie, and get some resources for you. Adam, what about this situation?
Okay, Julie. So I'm just gonna be clear. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But this approach is not good. This approach is based on a few assumptions that are probably not true. So you're making an assumption that she has a good theology and a good understanding of Jesus to begin with, and that she's going to see Satanism clearly and be able to infer that her theology about Jesus is correct because the satanic is the opposite. Most people don't have a really good, solid theological understanding of Christology and all of these issues. The danger in encouraging her to study Satanism is manifold. There's many aspects to it. The main ones are there is no one Satanism. Some of them are they call themselves atheistic Satanists, where they say they don't believe in an actual devil. It's a philosophy to them. Some are devil-worshipping Satanists that do horrible things. There's a reason that real black masses are never in the news or recorded, because there's criminal things that go on. And there's versions of Satanism that just do god-awful things. Now, the greatest danger, Julie, is that Satanism has a really, depending on which one you're looking at, a really refined argument that tries to convince the person that God is the bad guy, Jesus is the bad guy, and Satan is the good guy because he wanted to free people of God's laws. And different philosophical traps that they try to convince the person that actually Satan's the good guy and God is the bad guy. And when you don't have a good theology, that those arguments have been crafted over a long time. And if you don't have a good theology to struggle and fight against that and see the truth, the person can be vulnerable to those tricks. Now, eventually they'll learn that Satan is not their friend, because they'll eventually be practicing real Satanism and they'll get burned. And they'll find out, but you don't want her to have to go through that process, because believe me, it's not pleasant. So encouraging somebody to study Satanism because you think they're going to wake up and come out of it when they don't have a solid theology to begin with, probably, most of us don't, I just think it's dangerous. And there's some really dark stuff out there, Julie, and there's some really bad people, particularly online, which is where people tend to start studying Satanism and learning about it, is forums and places online. There are a lot of people that, and these crimes are coming to light, there's real criminal activity with grooming and encouraging people to hurt themselves and do other stuff with these people online. So I would try to get her away from this.
Okay. Julie, we're going to have to leave it there. If you want to email us and give us more details to the story, if we can help, just email us at tsw@grnonline.com. And that goes for Dennis and Michelle and Catherine and John. We didn't get to you. You can always email us, guys. So sorry. tsw@grnonline.com. I got everybody in the prayer book for Lourdes. Thank you so much. Don't worry about that. We're going to have 2 weeks of mailbag shows, brand new content of the Spirit World. So make sure you tune in. Thank you to the show team, Tim and Libby and Anna. And thank you to EWTN for airing the show from Guadalupe Radio Network. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.